At this time, it is my honor and privilege to turn the services over to Yahweh's last day's witness, the great Kohan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
You may be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I was just hearing the words of the great Kohan David Hammerman Hawkins and the prayer, all judgment in the world has been given to Yada. And of course, he's brought this world to evil. It's at its lowest point. I don't believe he ever thought about himself. I didn't intend to get started this way. I just it seems like that. It seems like that Yahshua, he never ever thought about himself except that he wanted to get the work done. He knew what he had to go through, and he did it. This is a real thing. It's not a fairy tale like Easter, Halloween, and Christmas, and all the junky God-worshipping days, memorials. Yahshua actually lived. The dates are there for anyone to see. When the message got out, which he had already said, he said, when you lift me up, this is going to cause all the world to see. And of course, that cruel life, the cruel circumstances that they put him through that night in paying for our sins, actually paying for sins that of people that hated him, hated everything he said, everything he did. He was the most hated person on earth at that time, and then they lifted him up on a stake, of course. But in lifting him up on that stake, the people that saw this, and they got to questioning about Yahshua. You think about what he was going through. If he'd have been thinking about himself, ordinarily, you know, a person couldn't stand that. His mind was on others, and in fact, he drew his attention to a woman, drew everybody's attention to a woman, and said, I want you to remember this woman and what she did. Well, of course, that wasn't just an accommodating thought, but something that he practiced, and so does his house today. They practice putting forth the woman first, the children first. But he set the example. He set the example for us to follow, and it's an attitude. It was never a woe is me that we see in the world today. This is the character that we see. And the world is a wreck right now, and everything about it is suffering. There's people out there suffering the same as Yahshua suffered. And of course, they're living in constant pain. They're taking their lives daily, committing suicide. They can't bear the pain that they're suffering. Their bodies are eat up because of sin that started with Adam and Eve and has slowly, slowly but surely taken over everyone in the world. Their thinking, their health, their guts are hurting, their hearts are hurting, their brains are hurting, feet, legs, bones, and they get to where they can't stand it any longer, and the pills. I know people like this. I was close to them. And one of them, he's taking the strongest pills on the market. And when he'd take it, he'd suffer for the first 2 hours. His stomach was hurting so bad he couldn't stand it. And when the pain pill finally kicked in and relieved the pain in his back for a little while, he was so thankful. He could go about his work thinking of me, doing the work that I'd given him to do. And finally, he said, I'm going to quit the pills. Well, of course, the doctor told him, don't do this. It'll cause your heart to collapse. And that's what occurred to him. And, of course, he died. But that's the pain that Yahshua had to suffer in paying the high price for sin. But that's what the world is hanging on to today. Lift me up, and I'll draw the whole world unto me, Yahshua said. Knowing the misery that was on that stake in front of him, he didn't have his mind on that, or the pain he's going to have to suffer. He's looking forward to what that pain was going to bring in getting the world out of this rut of sin. I'd like for you to dwell on those things tonight and thinking about what Yahshua went through and having his mind on on you. When he said, lift me up and I'll draw all the world to me. If you think about it, all the world and the scriptures that go with it and how far we're reaching right now, it's never been possible before. So he was thinking about us. He's thinking about you and me doing this work of taking a message to the world who hates us. We're the most hated people on earth. Just like the one that's inspiring us to do this work. And we're taking this message to them saying, here, Yahweh's got his hand out to you, offering you a way out of this pain and suffering. But they don't want it. They don't want it at this time. The judgment is totally turned over to the world, as we see in Genesis 49. And it's going to be that way until they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. In the name of Yahweh. Well, he gave us an example to follow. And practicing that example is what qualifies us to be chosen by Yahweh to bring peace to the universe, to the earth and the universe. He says, those who practice righteousness is righteous. Those who practice righteousness is righteous. Well, of course, Yeshua practiced righteousness all of his life until they lifted him up for the world to see. Lifted him up on a stake, and that message went out to all the world, all the known civilized world at that time, and the people started asking questions about this. And of course, the story was told by people like Nora. It went from mouth to mouth, ear to ear. The Yada saw this was a going thing, so they said, let's adopt this into our God worship. Which they did. And the first lie was that he rose on Sunday morning, Sunday, in honor of the sun god Baal, of course. Well, he taught. He said this same thing, this practicing righteousness. He who practices righteousness is righteous. That's 1 Yochanan 3:7. The verse 11 of that 1 Yochanan 3, verse 11 says, this same thing was taught in the beginning. This very same thing was taught in the beginning. Practice righteousness. Well, we see that in Genesis 4, 6, and 7. Yahweh said to Cain, that is, Yahweh said to Cain through Abel, if you practice righteousness, you'll be acceptable to people, to the microorganisms. You'll be acceptable to one another. You'll actually enjoy being around one another. You'll have your mind on not only yourself, but others, in serving them. I guess that's the deepest love I've ever seen. And this is what Yeshua had. I saw it in my mother. She was always concerned about everyone but herself. Everything she did was to please her family, take care of her family, teach and guide her family, make sure they had everything they needed. Well, this was Yahshua's attitude. This was the practice. He wasn't accepted. He wasn't acceptable to the world. The world hated him, but he was acceptable to his people. They loved him. Then they spent their lives, as he did, serving others. Serving Yahweh through the work that they did. This was the 12 disciples, of course. Serving Yahweh and getting a book ready, the last book ready, to go with the first book for you. They spent their lives doing that. They didn't live long. When their job was finished, they murdered them. They lifted them up too, and it was heard about that they got killed. Well, they got killed by somebody else. They didn't get killed by these God worshipers. That's the lie they told. They were in their prisons, of course. Yeah, they're under the care of their armies, of course. But our armies didn't kill them. Our armies are good. They're good saints. These were the lies that they told while they used the great character of these people that they killed, they murdered, but they used their great character and said, oh, this is the first pope in the Catholic Church. Another lie, like the pagan holiday with rabbits laying eggs and telling your children to go chase them down, and all these colors will bring you different spirits. Well, that's about the only truth they tell in those lies. It does bring you a different spirit. No, nothing holy about the spirit, but it brings you some spirits, mostly lust and greed and everything that's brought the earth down from Adam till now. In Genesis 4:7, the King James Version said it took the word righteousness out. Now, this is the Roman Catholic Church that had everything to do with the translation of the King James Version. They took the word righteousness out, and they replaced it with the word well. If you do well, W-E-L-L. If you look this word up in Strong's, it will tell you it means righteousness. It doesn't mean well, but it means righteousness. It means right and righteousness. The Hebrew word there is yatab. If you do that which is pleasing to Yahweh, which is pleasing to Yahweh. Well, nothing pleases Yahweh that is unrighteous. If you do well, if you practice righteousness, you'll be qualified by Yahshua, who died on this night for you, thinking of you, thinking of the work that you were going to do, drawing others to him. Lift me up, and I, Yahshua, will draw the whole world unto me. Lift me up, and my house in the last days, the donkey's colt, the donkeys, the colt, the donkeys of the colt, will be tied to my donkey's work, and I, through the donkeys, will take this message to all the world. That's the message that he was sending out. And while he was going through suffering, while his body was suffering this, he had his mind on you doing this work. What a blessing. And in so doing, maybe it did ease some of the pain before he died. Well, Yahshua said the same thing in Matthew 6:10. He says, "Thy will be done," in the King James Version. Thinking of Yahweh, knowing that Yahweh was perfect, he believed every word of the prophets. And the prophet said, Yahweh's way is perfect. Yahweh will make your way perfect if you will practice what he tells you to practice. So he said, "Thy will be done, not my will, but your will." And then Yahshua said, it's translated, "I can do nothing on my own." This was changed just a little bit by the Catholic Church, who had full control. I'm telling you, they had full control. They know they had full control. They had this in prison, this work that was brought down by Yahweh for us today, called the Book of Yahweh. They had every bit of it under their control. Yahshua recognized that, and he even said it. Yada was given full control, and the scepter will not depart from Yada until he comes, whose right it is. You don't inherit a scepter of righteousness by wickedness. You inherit death. And of course, that death is what is spread all over the world today, the death and the suffering. You're going through the same thing that Yahshua went through that night, being beaten and tortured. And of course, a crown of thorns crammed down on his head. And they take that crown of thorns and they praise it and make a god out of it. And they sell a few billion of those little ones to hang on your wall or around your neck, along with their sword, "By this you will conquer." All of this evil Yahshua broadcast when he was alive, and said, "All this judgment is given to man, to mankind, and he's going to stay in control, but he won't see me. They won't see me until they say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh.'" And that time is in our generation. They're going to see it. They're going to say it. The quartet, what is left of the quartet, with their horns broken off. When the wars stop, when there's nothing left to fight with, they're bringing themselves down, brethren, big time. The Roman Catholic Church, that's Yada, who now holds the scepter from the seven hills of Rome, plainly shown in Revelation 17. Yahshua, given that chapter, he took it to Yochanan, who was one of his workers in prison, gave it to him, and he wrote it. You might be thinking about that, along with Adam giving names to everything, every animal. I'm sure it was really easy for that book to be written. Think about it, 22 chapters there of Revelations, and he gave that to that man to handwrite. It wasn't a miracle, but it showed some ability that the world has lost. In Matthew 6:10, thy will be done. Matthew 7:21 through 23, we need to read that. This is Yeshua's stand. He won't change his mind. His mind is set on Yahweh to do His will. And the way that scripture, he says, of my own self I can do nothing. That's the way it was translated. Well, of course, that's an improper way. What he said was, of my own self I will do nothing on my own. I will do nothing. He set his will to do only what Yahweh said that he would do. And that's practice righteousness, live righteousness, see to it that the whole universe is brought to righteousness along with the earth. But here in chapter 7 now, in verse 21, he says, not everyone that says to me, teacher, teacher, will enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, but only he. You need to get this straight. There's no other kingdoms to enter. This kingdom is going to be it. If you don't enter this kingdom, if you don't enter this kingdom of Yahweh, you won't be alive. You'll be dead. You'll be ashes under the feet of the righteous. Now, that's what's shown for you, and that's what Yeshua stood up for. Not everyone who says to me, teacher, teacher, will enter the kingdom of Yahweh, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, of course, that was his stand. He did Yahweh's will totally, and he said, I will on my own do nothing. I'll only do what Yahweh shows me to do, which is shown in this book right here, the book of Yahweh. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied, have we not preached in your name, in the name Jesus Christ or Son God, or may? The word may. Get it out of your vocabulary. I was taught, all of us were, that it's improper to say, can I? Can I do this? That's improper language. They want you to get permission from God, the goddess May. So they tell you that's improper to say it that way. You've got to say May and get May's permission to do this. I think I'd rather have improper language myself. Many will say unto me in that day, teacher, have we not preached in your name and cast out demons and did a lot of wonderful healings? Oh, he's healed. He's healed. You see that on television? How they're healing all those people? There's not going to be any sick people in the world anymore. They're healing them all. All they got to do is that, and he falls backwards and he's healed. He fell on about a dozen of them Easter eggs, broke them all over the floor. What a miracle that was. And here come the children lapping it up. Remember that. That'll help you to remember. Cast out demons. We've cast out demons in your name, and in your name perform many wonderful works. Did you see us? We hung a noose around that God's neck to keep him from falling in the fire. I didn't know whether they was trying to hang him or pull him up out of it. No one knows what. It's going to burn. It's going to burn. This is a great example. But then I will declare, this is Yeshua's words. Is this too strong for you? Think of what this man did for you that night. He's telling you straight out, all the world that's listening to me, we're going to every nation in the world right now with this broadcast. This is Yeshua who said, lift me up, and I will take this to all the world through my house in the last days, here a little and there a little. But then I will declare to them, I never knew you, get away from me, you who practice iniquity. That iniquity there is lawlessness. The Catholic Church is full of lawlessness. All Christianity is filled with lawlessness. Only believe, or believe only. Get away from me, you who believe only, you practice iniquity, you're lawless, you won't keep the laws of Yahweh. I'm dying on the stake for you. They've lifted me up so you could see me on the stake. No, it wasn't a cross, the symbol of a sword. By this you will conquer. Get away from me, you who practice iniquity. Verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock, on the foundation of unity, the rock, Yahweh. Well, then Yeshua shows the mixture that we see, the evil, the evil and the righteous, evil and righteousness. Genesis 3:5, be like the gods, evil. Be like the Sunday God, evil. Sunday, sun God, evil. Go out chasing rabbits who lay eggs. Haven't we done many other wonderful works besides having rabbits lay eggs? Yes, you have. Your Santa Claus chain, your Santa Claus saved the night for all these poor people who couldn't buy presents for their children. And he came flying through the air, pulled by reindeers, dropping himself along with presents down the chimney. And they fell around the Christmas tree that is condemned in Jeremiah 1 through 10. These are the wonderful works you're doing. These are the wonderful works that is bringing evil all over the world and caused Yeshua to have to die a miserable death on the stake, not a cross, on a stake. So those who will turn to righteousness can repent, be converted, and be saved. Well, he turns on the Pharisees now. These are the, when they're calling themselves Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, before they moved to the seven hills of Rome, took the temple with them, took the book of Yahweh with them also, Well, how did we get that here? We didn't know we had that for 1,500 years. The lies, brethren, that they cover up. Have we not done many wonderful works? You sure did. You kept the book of Yahweh hidden for 1,500 years. In Matthew 12, look at verse 2. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Behold, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." Of course, it was only unlawful by the way they polluted the Sabbath. They polluted the Sabbath, and you can read about it, how they, in the Talmud, how they would, they couldn't carry a needle on the, in their hand, so they could carry it only for a few feet, then they had to lay it on the back of their hand, they could carry it in a few more feet. This is the ignorance that Yahshua grew up with. He saw it everywhere. And he kept the law. He told his disciples how to keep the Sabbath. His disciples were keeping the Sabbath. Now, why do I bring this Sabbath in? This is an everlasting appointment with Yahweh. Yahshua taught the Sabbath. He taught to be unselfish, very totally unselfish on the Sabbath day, and on every day, of course. But on the Sabbath day, he showed and demonstrated the work that he was doing. He worked, doing Yahweh's work. And he taught his disciples to do the same thing, to be of service to others, including taking care of the women. But he said, look back to verse 1. At that time, Yahshua went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples were eating corn, picking it off the stalk and eating it because they were hungry. He cared about his disciples. Of course, they weren't breaking the law anyway. They weren't if you follow the laws, if you read the laws, read what they say, how to keep the Sabbath, you will see that Yahshua and his 12 disciples were keeping the Sabbath. Well, he says in verse 3, but he said to them, Have you not read what David and those who were with him did when they were hungry? So he points out the law to them. And of course he says, did they defile the Sabbath? This was a question to them. Did they defile the Sabbath? They were held up in praise by what they did. The house of Yahweh, verse 4, how he and those who with him went into the house of Yahweh and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for them to eat, but only for the priest, and didn't break the Sabbath. No, in fact, they enforced the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day when you gather together with Yahweh and you learn to care for one another. Yahshua, he had his mind totally on others. He kept the Sabbath properly. Every Sabbath, he went out seeing what he could do for others. At the house of Yahweh, around the house of Yahweh, wherever he traveled, wherever he worked, he did the same thing. He even fed them and cleaned up the mess after them on the Sabbath day. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priest in the house of Yahweh profaned the Sabbath? Did this profane the... Another question here now. The Sabbath and were blameless? Well, if they'd have been profaning the Sabbath, they wouldn't have been blameless. They weren't profaning the Sabbath. They were practicing the Sabbath law. But I say to you that there's a greater, but I say to you that a greater house of Yahweh than this temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Notice there's guiltless for this. They were guiltless. They hadn't broken any laws. They were keeping the Sabbath for what it was made for. So the Son of Man is teacher of the Sabbath. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, they moved to the seven hills of Rome in 70 A.Y., along with their great army. Well, each Sabbath, Leviticus 24, 1 through 8, lights and bread, food were prepared each Sabbath. You can read that for yourself, Leviticus 24, 1 through 8. Matitia 12, 9 through 12, you have animals also that he had his mind on, Yeshua did, you should too. You should have your minds on taking care of animals, making sure they don't suffer on the Sabbath or any other day. Matitia, which of you would you not pull a sheep out of a mud hole? Would you not take him to water? Would you not give him a drink of water on the Sabbath? Are you that cruel, he says, you Catholic priest, you Pope? Of course, when they moved to Rome, they didn't want to keep the Sabbath anyway. They were trying to make it so bad that no one would keep it. And Yeshua, he showed this. He showed they weren't keeping it. Well, when they moved to Rome, they chose Sunday instead. Constantine instituted that. The Sabbath was made for practicing righteousness at the house of Yahweh. At the house of Yahweh now. That's where Yahweh meets with his people. Yeshua taught the Sabbath according to the law. That's what he's shown to us in Hebrews 4. Let's turn there. Hebrews 4. Those who have their books of Yahweh, and I notice some of you are taking notes, you can write these down and study them later. But my main thing here is to reach the world. That's what Yeshua is doing as we lift him up, showing how he died, what he died for. And he didn't die so you could sell a bunch of crosses, a bunch of little crappy things to wear around your neck that you know is an emblem of a sword. And by this you will conquer. Well, you conquered for a while, didn't you? Satan's world don't last very long. And now the whole thing is a great example that took place already of a great burning of a cherished memory of Jupiter, where Jupiter used to sit. Could that be? Could that be an example of what's going to take place really, really soon? Well, here now, Hebrews 4, and here is, remember Yeshua's teaching, saying that this is what the Sabbath is for. This is according to the law. What you're doing is not according to the law, but what this is, this is according to the law. Hebrews 4, in verse 8, he says, Now, Yeshua calls them to rest in obedience to the law. Rest? Picking corn out of the field? Yes. It doesn't mean lay down on the bed and relax and stop breathing. Breathing is work too, remember? I get my point here. He calls them to rest. They were resting. The word there means repose. It means to come and stop working for yourself. Come to the house of Yahweh and get your mind on what Yeshua had it on. And this is the reason that the man came and paid for your sins on this stake. He had his mind on you. On you. Yes, you sitting here. You're the house that's taking this man's work to all the world. Taking this man to all the world. And they hated him. They hated this man who was fixing to die for their sins. Yes. And they hung him on a stake. They beat him that night. I suppose all night. How would you like to go through with that yourself? Could you stand it? He was so weak the next day that he had trouble walking and couldn't carry this post that they gave him to carry. But they finally nailed him to and lifted it up, lifted him up high for the world to see. He brought his house to recognition also, the same way. Yes. Suffering reproach. Well, here, Yeshua is plainly showed that picking corn to eat for yourself, setting a meal out for others to eat, 5,000 people? No, that was just men. That was just men. It was a lot more than that. And he fed them. And then he says, gather up the scraps. This is keeping the Sabbath according to law. Yes, this is keeping the Sabbath according to law. We got people right now preparing food. Yes. In keeping the Sabbath according to law. I've seen men rushing throughout the campgrounds here today, getting the campground ready for this night for you, for everyone to enjoy, keeping the Sabbath according to law. And they'll be rushing tonight and tomorrow doing the same thing. This is what you find in the house of Yahweh today. I'm lifting it up for all to see. This is what Yeshua taught. Therefore, there remains the keeping of the Sabbath. He said, now Yeshua calls them to rest in obedience to the law. He calls them. That's what he taught them to do. Yes, pick corn, feed the hungry. Spoken, obedience to the law spoken of by Yahweh in a day previously. Yes, Exodus 20. Exodus 20, the fourth commandment. Therefore, there remains the keeping in the same manner of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh. Not the people of the world. The world don't have any rest. They labor day and night building weapons for Satan to use to deceive them to kill themselves with. Verse 10, For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works. His own works. There's your secret right there. As Yahweh did from his. Therefore, let us be zealous to enter into that rest, so that no one may fall after the same example of unbelief. Well, in Matitya, this was Hebrews now. Do not your own works, but that of Yahweh. Do the works of Yahweh, taking care of others, not yourself. He did not add or take away from, take away, and said in Revelations 22:14, blessed are those that do this. Blessed are those that keep his laws, for they have right to the kingdom of Yahweh and will enter in through the gates into the kingdom. Now, with that in mind, in Matitya 23, scribes and Pharisees, let's read that right quick. Matitya 23, and look at verse 1. Matitya 23 and verse 1. Then Yahshua spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees are appointed to Moshe's seat. Now that was under the laws of Moshe. He says, therefore, obey and practice everything that they tell you to observe, but do it because it's teaching the law. The law of Moshe, given to Moshe, the doctrine of life. They were teaching it when they were appointed to teach it. So do what they tell you to do, but do not imitate their works, for they preach, but they do not practice. When and by whom? By Yahweh. This was given to them. Yeshua showed this right here. It's given to them. They sit in Moshe's seat. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who finally brought in their army, wiped out those who kept be turning over to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Wiped out those who came to Jerusalem to keep the feast. And then after that, of course, throughout the history, anyone can get that history and read it. The people that died, that were killed for keeping the Sabbath, owning a menorah, it showed the seven works of Yahweh. Genesis 49. Here is what is a sign. The thing about these prophecies is beautiful. This is what proves this whole book right. It's not fairy tales we're reading. Fairy tales cannot tell you what is going to take place in the future. This right here tells you exactly what is taking place right now on the seven hills of Rome, where the scepter is being held by wicked men, and it's being held by force, and Yahweh says, I will hold nothing back from them. Whatever they imagine in their hearts, they will be allowed to do until, notice this, 49, Genesis 49, verses 10. The scepter will not depart from Yada. That's a fact. It never has, and it won't until they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. That's you, brethren. You're the only ones on earth that come by the authority of Yahweh. Blessed are those who come in the name of Yahweh. We are the ones that Yahshua, that Yahweh appointed, that Yahshua appointed, who's high priest over the house of Yahweh. The scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff from between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs, and the obedience of the nations, notice, is his. The obedience of the nations. We're going to be explaining, elaborating much, much more on this as the through the feast, and not tomorrow morning, but day after tomorrow. Now, Yahshua on this night, it's hard to imagine this man, he's fixing to die, he's fixing to suffer this horrible death on the stake. And he said, but he had his mind on a woman that just did a service for him. He had his mind on you who are doing a service for him right now. He had his mind on every one of you who are working for each other. You come to the house of Yahweh, you immediately get your mind off of yourself, and you start training to get this world out of debt. He had his mind on that. And he said, wherever this memorial is held, I want this woman's name mentioned. Ah, it's so beautiful what he did. It's so amazing. But he was despised. If you look at Isaiah, 53, and here's the prophecy again telling you about Yahshua. If you read what the man did all of his life, you would think everybody in the world would love that man. You'd think everybody around him, you know, would want him as a leader. Satan wanted him as a leader because he was popular. He was a very popular man. He took care of everybody but himself. In Isaiah 53, well, let's start with verse 1. Who has believed our report? Well, the prophecies are true. They prove themselves, but nobody believes them. The world don't believe them. The world is going into a one-hour burning, and they don't believe it. Some of them do, and they're preparing to save their own selves. Yes, they got their mind on their own selves. Not on those they're wanting to get rid of. Now that's the difference in them and Yahshua. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm, that's the strength of Yahweh revealed. Strength, remember Malachi 4. The strength of Yahweh, the laws and the prophets are the strength of Yahweh. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Look on down to verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all, laid on Yahshua. That's the reason he had to die, be lifted up for all to see. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich, and in his death. But he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet his bruises pleased Yahweh, for he was put to much grief, and now he has brought the suffering for sin, the offering for sin. The suffering, the offering is the same thing for sin. He will see his seed. That's you. He will see his seed. That's you and the 12 disciples. He will prolong days, and the pleasure of Yahweh will succeed in his hands as high priest and then king of kings later after that. He will see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, Father, your last day's witness, coming to you through Yeshua, our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh, coming before you, Father, along with the whole house of Yahweh, seeking your help, Father, your inspiration, your guidance, as we perform this wonderful message that this brings forth, this memorial brings forth, this great lesson that you've given, the lesson that Yeshua performed so well in his everyday life and wants us to do the same, even down to the washing of one another's feet in sincerity and truth and love and kindness and mercy. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for Yeshua and the strength that he had, the great strength that came from your laws and your prophecies that he was determined to fulfill and determined to live the life that you yourself inspired. We bless you and praise you for this knowledge and Yeshua, our high priest. We thank you for this bread that represents Yeshua's body. We give you thanks and ask, Father, that all of us can partake of it worthily, repenting and in our hearts and minds and adjusting our lives, Father, to your laws and to the character that you have displayed through Yeshua as our shining example. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah, Yahweh. Father, we know from what we've seen in scriptures that the blood of Yeshua was shed on the stake in fulfillment of the prophecies written about him. He did this voluntarily in thinking of wiping out sin and creating a beautiful world of peace, joy, and love and service to others and being slaves to others. We thank you, Father, for this fruit of the vine that represents the blood of Yeshua. We thank you that we are part of it in your house in these last days. We honor you, Father, and praise you. We honor Yeshua and praise him. We do this, Father, in example, and we repent, Father, for all of our sins and weaknesses, stupidity and ignorance. We praise you and thank you for giving us this opportunity of repentance. We gladly partake of this fruit of the vine together at this time. We thank you and praise you and ask these things in Yeshua's name, asking all guidance and inspiration in his name. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Remember to work on the name. We're told to celebrate this memorial to this woman. Don't forget that. You can't celebrate a memorial just to a woman, you know. You got to know the name. So work on that, everyone. And if it doesn't mean what I told you, then you have the wrong name. It means the donkeys are going to cry this out. And we're going to cry this out, Passover.
That woman on the words of great Yeshua, she left her life of sin, never to return again. Let us praise her and Father Yahweh.
Yeshua.